And I went to college, summer school, and then that semester, and I was drawing good grades, A's and B's and C's. And made some friends, which is what I dearly needed. I shouldn't say dreadfully, because they were wonderful people, full of plans and things that, you see, my husband never incorporated me into his life, ever. I don't know anybody. You see, he doesn't make friends and bring them home. I didn't know anybody. And I was still trying to hang on to the girlfriends that I grew up with. And one of his friends that he was in the Army with and his wife were allowed to come over, and we visited them, you know, birthday parties and things like that. But that was all of my social life. That was it. Roy and I didn't do anything together. He doesn't like to dance. I did. I had learned to dance when I was... I used to, you know, the swing era was in. And that was a big thing when we were growing up, to dance. And, or entertain. And I used to read books on how to prepare a beautiful dinner, and I think I was trying desperately to be what the magazine said I should be. So I just wasn't making it, so I wasn't getting there. I didn't have a social life. Roy didn't want anybody over here, didn't want people. And I happened to like people. But I was having a little bit of a problem with myself, so I was beginning to give in to this isolation. And I had to start from scratch by going to college and rehabilitating myself, to find out if I could read, if I could get along with people again, and still be a wife and mother, because I more than anybody, I've always loved my children very much, and I didn't want to neglect any of them, really. But Terry gets pregnant practically on her wedding night, and I wasn't really ready to be a grandmother at 41 or 42. I was really wanting to go to college, because I had gotten over the fear, that agoraphobia that was beginning to take control of my life. And I was beginning to make friends, and I was beginning to be happy again. And then Terry had her first child, and I stayed home. You know, she had the boy in May, and I was still in school. And I couldn't believe that he was born with a birth defect. But, you see, I couldn't believe it, so I continued in school until, really, I told you that I was feeding him, and I could hear, I mean, they had already told us that he had a hydrocephalus. And it was unbelievable that he was going to have brain surgery. And still, and then I had all the finals, and there's pressure. And then guilt sets in, because I felt that I was neglecting Terry. She was getting a little bit huffy, you know, about what kind of a grandmother are you, that you go off to school and I need you. So June came. I was determined to finish the semester, and it nearly killed me. I was down to skin and bones, fat now, but skin and bones, running, you know, to the school, and then when the baby had his brain surgery, to the hospital and back, and her, and help her. Right away, I get this terrible tension right in through here, and then right up the back of my neck. And I started reading about the condition, and asking the doctors. They don't talk to grandmothers, they only talk to the mother. And it just so happened that the pediatrician who took care of Jason was the one who helped me with my children. So I broke all the rules, and I got through to Dr. Bills, and I said, "You've got to tell me what he has." This was now summer vacation, June and in July. and he told me the whole story. Very wonderful man. And I have to know. I am one person who has to know what they are dealing with. Then I will deal with it. Lies and haziness and questions are my enemy. And so I go to the root of everything. Then I'll deal with it. Because I don't like to waste my time on lies. I mean other things, but I knew that Dr. Bills would be straight with me, and he was. And he told me exactly, and he told me everything. He told me that Chasen may not live, even if he lived through this ordeal. And he told me what to expect in the next few years, which was more surgery for him. And if he lived through all of those surgeries, they were not sure that he would have a long life. And that was a blow, because he, you know, even though I was not prepared emotionally, no one is at 41 to be a grandmother. I mean, are you ready for it? How old are you? In 6 years?
35.
In six
no.
years, are you ready to be a grandmother? Or 7 years? Will you? It might happen. And then you grow up a little bit more, and you don't think you can, but you do. So I went back to school in the summer. I went to summer school, really desperately hanging on to what I had over there. And I was skin and bones. I was really just, the body was going, but the mind was active, thank God. And it was doing me an awful lot of good, and I think it was helping me with my children. So I got through summer school, and then I devoted myself to the house. You know, at first you're very tired, right after a semester, and then you just collapse for a couple of weeks. But I was running to Terry more. Then I got the house together and went back again. And anyway, it teeter-tottered so much that I and then Jeannie, I think, sprung the surprise that she was getting married. She really wasn't ready. And I guess she was only about 19. And her marriage was a total disaster. And I'm still in school. And by then I have my brains back. I am rational. I'm stronger also. Even if I had lost weight, I was beginning to see things a little more clearly. And I did have guilt. The guilt was beginning to set in. I thought, well, I have to help my daughter. My second daughter was in terrible, dire straits with her, a very bad marriage. And I had to help her if it was just being here when she needed me. That was all that I decided to do. She was working, had graduated from high school and was working at Host International. She was getting a good foothold on her job. And
what was she doing?
Well, she started out, she had taken business in high school. And when she graduated, she went to West Valley Occupational Center. She did not want to, neither one of the girls wanted to go to college, even though at that particular time I was really hoping they would. Even if they had to work and go to college, I had, you know, I had seen the value. And but they would not go. And Jeannie went to West Valley Occupational Center, and she just happens to be very, very good with her hands because of the piano. She took several years of piano. She's just gifted. She's just gifted. So a type. She'd taken business, bookkeeping, all of the business in high school. But they're a little bit lost. They don't have quite enough in high school. They need more. But she just thought about it after Terry's wedding. I'm not going to college, so I'll take Key Punch. It pays well. And it's a horrible job, but she took Key Punch. Went to work for General Telephone. It was horrible because they weren't nice. And a girlfriend of hers worked for Host International. And she was a supervisor. She had been there. She's older. And so they needed someone, so she told her boss to call West Valley and find out what her grades were there. Well, they recommended her to the skies because she had, you know, she was tops. She's fast with her hands. Very good key punch operator. So then he called here and wanted her to come in for an interview. And of course, she passed the test with flying colors, but it was in Santa Monica, and that's quite a trip. But Barbara lives in the valley. So they got together and they formed a carpool, and of course Jeannie got interested in the job, and she found out it was just wonderful that the company was good to them, and you know, they gave them Christmas parties and Christmas presents, and they have a wonderful picnic for them, and they treat them like queens. And so she was just young enough where she fell into this glamorous corporation that treated her so well that she was very happy there. And they were happy with her. And so then she went on up the ladder. She didn't stay at Key Punch. They just kept giving her more and more responsibility and training her until she was supervisor along with Barbara. So that when Barbara went on vacation, Jeannie became supervisor. Or if Barbara was sick, Jeannie, she was a co-supervisor. And so that is when she married Wes, of all things. And it was a disaster because he already had a wife. And the wife let them have a month together or found out that her husband had remarried without divorcing her. And so then she called a girlfriend to tell Jeannie to tell Wes that he had committed bigamy. And of course, the marriage was over and Jeannie went into a spin. The marriage only lasted, a month to 6 weeks. And they had an apartment and I was in school, you know. And then she kept coming over to tell me that things were going straight downhill. And I didn't know why. And I kept trying to, she was married and I told her to try harder. And it was no use. And he finally beat her up very badly. And I had to pick her up when she borrowed a dime to call me from a payphone. And she was bloody when I picked her up because he had beaten her up so badly. So, you know, I mean, here I am in school and you want to hear my sad story, you know. And I have a grandson who's got problems and my daughter's having problems. And I still tried. And I think I did finish the semester. But at the end of the semester, I thought, they need me. And they need a mother. Maybe all this has happened because I'm not around. You know? So I stayed home and waited for them to tell me what their problems were. I had enough college, what little I had there. I took psychology, took all the psychology I could get. Child psychology, and I took Spanish 1 and 2. That was for my happiness, and because I got A's there. And in psychology, my hand was up, all you know. And we had a PhD, and he was a very impatient man. He got rid of a lot of people. He really narrowed down that class. You know how they do. The room was just full. They were waiting outside to get in when the class started. And he got rid of everybody, you know, one by one. He'd zero in on them, and out they'd go. And I think he tried to get rid of me, too, because I think he thought I was too old and that I wasn't going anywhere. I had that impression, but I hung in there because I needed it. I wanted to know what in the world was going on in the world of psychology. And so he gave me credit for staying. And so I learned a lot. I really did. I really studied. And I did learn a lot about human, you know, human. In fact, I still subscribe to psychology today, and I read psychology books, and I try to apply it to myself and to my life and to my children and my grandchildren in a constructive way. And I had enough sense then to stay out of their lives. But if they needed advice or wanted it, to just say a few things in a way so that maybe it would help them do the right thing. And that's an art. That's an art. Oh, because you've got to watch them hurt themselves. It's just like when they're little kids, you know, life begins anew when they grow up. It's just like watching them learn to walk again, make the mistakes that we all make. My mother must have suffered just as much watching me fumble through my life. So, and now, of course, that was when? That was the earthquake hit. I was still in school, so that was 71. I went to the end of 72, you know, June. And I had to stay home, take care of Jeannie, to me, and John, of course. John was growing up, and he turned out to be very intelligent and college-minded. He'd been watching me go to college and stress college to the girls, and darn it, he was the one that wasn't absorbing it. He told me he wanted to go to college, and by then he's in junior high, so I talked to his homeroom teacher, and somehow or other, we got the college preparatory curriculum for him, because he can read. Oh, he can read beautifully. I guess all this time he had been studying us, you know, and reading. But he had trouble in algebra. So they recommended that he failed Algebra 1. So by then I was home. And I was determined that if the girls didn't go to college, then certainly John, who was going to be a man and the head of a family, should have that chance. And so I didn't know how we could manage it financially, but somehow we grants, I don't know. Anyway, I would go to work, something would happen, and he could go, because he was really interested in school. So I got him a tutor for algebra. And he passed, he had to take algebra again, and he passed it with an A, I think, that time, then went into geometry, or B, went into geometry, and he did that with help, because he and I are a little bit shaky on math. But he can write beautifully. He missed his calling. So I am bursting with pride because my son is finally catching, you know, one of them is emoting, talking sense and not wanting to get married. And by then Jeannie is out of her marriage and more career-minded, more responsible. And John is going to college, Valley Junior College, because my husband would not pay for the tuition for Pepperdine or UCLA or anything else that John might have gone to after he graduated from high school. And so I wanted to go to work, and I figured, well, let's go to work. And then I started looking for work, and I had found out the years had passed me by. Because when you stop to think, I was 41 or 42, maybe 43 when I quit college, right, or Valley. Busy with the family for another 3 years. I went back to Valley. But John is going to Valley. And we had a little difficulty with the cars, you know, different time schedules. And I figured he was more important. Again, well, true. So I stayed home, and he had the car. He was just young enough where he couldn't buy a car, and we couldn't buy him a car. And so he took my car, and I was left without a car. But I was cured of the agoraphobia by then. And so I just worked around everybody. But that's been my life. I've just been weaving in and out. And I'm reaching 50, you know. I'm getting closer and closer to 50. And actually, I'm leaving my husband out of all of this. I'm just talking about myself because he was sort of a shadow through it all anyway. I went to him. We went to him. He resented the wedding, Terry's wedding. He was rude to everybody, hated everybody, hated the money, you know, I mean, against it, against the money. It cost $1,500, and he was furious. So he bought himself a Honda, and his hobby was to go with his friends on a Honda. At his age, it was kind of ridiculous. I was afraid something, you know, he'd have an accident. But he ended up having blood in the urine because of all the Honda driving that at his age he was doing, that the doctor scared him enough so that he sold it because of the pounding on the kidneys. You know, he had to go to the hospital. And they found blood in the urine, and that can mean anything. So that frightened him, and he quit riding the Honda. So then he found something else to do, and that was golf. So that became his thing, and I'm not included in his life. I couldn't go on the Hondas with him, and I can't go golfing with him. So he took up golf seriously. He joined tournaments, and that was his happiness. My happiness was the school, working with my kids, getting them out of their problems, helping my daughter. You know, I'm sort of making myself thought to look awfully good. But you know, I used to be mad too. I used to get very angry. And I felt very, you know, lots of self-pity, and I would call my girlfriend. This is the bad side, I have to tell you. Cry! Very persecuted. And I was beginning to take on sort of a hard look personality. And finally, I happened to have the most wonderful girlfriends that told me so. You know, they said, you know, it's getting to be kind of, you know, how come so much bad luck is coming your way? You know, why? And I said, well, I don't know why, except that there's nothing I can do about it. And there isn't. And I kept looking at their lives. We always go back to one another. It's just curiosity, I think. And they all manage pretty well. And of course, in a way, that gives me a little strength because I say, well, they've managed their lives. They always make everything come out smelling like roses because either they're just telling me this. They hide all the bad things. And I am not one to hide. I tell the good and the bad, you know. So, and I will to the end of my days. So I'll cry when I'm sad, and I'll laugh when I'm happy. But I'm not a phony. If they happen to call me when I'm down there, they're going to hear about it. But if I'm happy, they'll hear about the happy things too. And the time came when Jeannie changed jobs. By then I was approaching 50. How old am I? I'm 56. So Jeannie has been at Western Airlines, I think, say 4 years. And darn, how old was I? I was 51. She tells me this wonderful news that we can travel. And, of course, it just went right over my head because by then I was used to bad luck. And I thought, well, that's not for me. I'll never go anywhere. And so on the bright side, I can say that my daughter Jeannie has been a wonderful daughter. Terry, too, she's beautiful and is doing what I was trying to, I have always tried to be a good wife and mother, and I don't know. I feel so sorry for her. And I see what she's doing. So, well, Jeannie invited me to travel with her. And I always, in the back of my mind, I kept thinking I should be trying to find a job. But then she offered to take me to Hawaii, you know, and tells me it's free. And I never even heard of such a thing as going anywhere free. And I hadn't taken any vacations. And I still had this fear, you know, I knew that I had the agoraphobia. And Jeannie was all excited because she had already been to Hawaii and back and raving about how beautiful it was. And that's just what she wanted to do it for me. She said it was, she got a free trip, a pass for me, and it was free. And the room was about $20 a night. So finally I decided to test myself again to see if I was really over my agoraphobia. How would I be in an airplane? And so that was, how old, 51? Oh, and of course, Jason had surgery, he had surgery, and we were already planning the trip, and the shunt broke, and he had to have emergency surgery, but everything went along, so I decided to go ahead on the trip. I feel it's free, I need it, I'll take Valium. And I asked Roy if I could go, and I think it cost altogether, really, not $200 for about 4 days. That's pretty cheap for Hawaii. And he saw that I was very excited about it, and I asked him if he wanted to go, and he said, absolutely not. He would never fly because planes are not safe. He said, they're flying coffins, and he works at Lockheed. But Jeannie and I were excited, and I took the Valium and prayed all the way over there and proved again that I could do it and went. And her, again, I look to young people I see their exuberance and their happiness. Jeannie had finally gotten over her unhappiness. And she wanted, I could see that she was trying to make me happy. The roles were reversing. And I wanted her to know that I appreciated it. I felt old. You know, I suddenly realized that here was this grown daughter now trying to make her mother happy. And I suddenly felt shriveled and old, you know, being taken to life by the hand. And literally, she literally took me by the hand because my hands were like ice when I got on that plane. But we went first class, and she was so bubbly, and really her enthusiasm filled me with warmth. And she talks, and you know, I wish you could meet her. She is such a sweetheart. And then when we got over there, oh, you've got to see this, mother, and oh, you've got to do this, mother. And then we called home, and everything was just beautiful. And of course, I was just on the top of the world. I could come home and brag to my friends because they'd heard all the bad news. I wanted them to know that and now I was going to have some rewards, you know, so... They were happy. Everybody was happy. And I don't think my husband was too happy. And in the meantime, by the way, he had an affair. when Jason was in the hospital. I'll never forgive him for that. He had a woman. Then I found out about it. What do you do about that? What do you do about that? Here I'm getting mad again. I just remembered. Yeah, that's right. I was getting even. That's one of the things. That's why I went to Hawaii. I decided that I figured it was all over. In my case, I let him go. I gave him a piece of my mind when I found out about it.
How did you find out?
Rant and rave. I found lipstick on his clothing and more. And of course, then I took, that was when he was going off on his Hondas. And of course, what hurt me the most was I kept saying, how can he do this with his grandson in the hospital? And I threw that at him with every piece of fury that I had. I said, I'm going to school because I want to go to work. And I don't feel qualified to do anything at my age, so I'm trying to learn something. Your son is in the hospital. Your daughter is suffering. I'm very dramatic. And I said, and you are making a goddamn fool out of yourself, and you're dragging me in the gutter.